reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I have to find which verse, but Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, here we are.
That's exactly what you were
doing.
How about
you,
Earth?
And
you,
not me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Gail. Mm-hmm. Is that you? Maybe you need to mute your phone. I will. Okay, reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Text 110. Chaturmasya taha prabhu sri vaishnavair sane kaniya nitya gita krishna sankirtane. Sri Trimala Bhat is both a mental. This is next verse. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed the Chaturmas months with the sri vaishnavas singing, chanting the holy name and dancing. Om Jnana Timurandasya Dhananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupakadhamayam Udati Sapadantikam Adana Nastanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupapadam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Bhakti Visham Payatnai Apayamamana Bipsamandam Kripam Buhiya Paradhuka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kalpa Karubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So we're studying this Madhya Lila 1, and I'm so happy studying this chapter because, as I mentioned before, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, out of his deep compassion, because he's such an old man and he's trembling when he's actually writing this book, and it's out of compassion. Jivadoi Krishnanam Sarva Dharma Sar, that the essence of all religion or duties, what one should be doing, is to show compassion to others by giving them the holy name of Krishna. And I mentioned before that I was there when Srila Prabhupada in his last days in the same mood. Even though he was on his bed in a very, very painful condition that I personally witnessed, isn't that a very moving scene where you can see Jayadvaita Swami's deep Guru Nishtha as he's holding the mic and Prabhupada's translating the 10th canto. And it's also, I thought, significant or interesting that, you know, Krishna's Leela is basically divided into three. They're called Mara from 1 to 5, Koganda from 6 to 10. And then Kaishor from 11 to 15, that Prabhupada completed the Kumar Lila by the last pastime that he did was the Brahma Vimohan Lila, and Prabhupada was able to complete that. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, I guess, let's get into his heart. Why is he doing this? Why does the Vaishnava write transcendental literatures. A Vaishnava writes transcendental literatures. It's not out of false ego, ahankara, to increase his fame and to increase his prestige. Therefore, one can increase one's control and therefore increase one's enjoy. But a Vaishnava only does it for others. That means everything a Vaishnava does is either out of love and compassion. So, Krishna, let's get into his heart. This is compassion. He's giving this for the world as a service to Sri Nityananda Prabhu, as a service to the Vaishnavas, as a service to humanity. He's giving the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's giving us the view of perfection. If we want to practice an activity, we have to have the goal in mind. And this is the goal. The goal is Amrita. It's nectar. It's immortality. It's the life force, the personality of the life force in immortality. I was speaking about this in the previous work that unfortunately now, you know, I feel if people wrote about my life, it would be the character of the life force in temporality, in selfishness, in ego, in prestige. I was speaking to one very, very deep and dear godbrother the other day, how he was just looking into his heart and seeing so much, and I think he's a very advanced soul, and therefore an advanced soul can perceive very clearly imperfections in the heart. He was actually perceiving in his heart, you know, the selfishness, the motive of ahankara, subtly engrossed behind everything. But look at this heart of Krishnadas Kaviraj. When you're that old, you don't have duties for others, basically. You have duties to actually save yourself, but these great souls, they have so much compassion. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, he was on his deathbed, so to speak. He knew he had 7 days to live. You know, when you get sick or you're in crisis, you tend to become self-absorbed. But it's so wonderful that Maharaj Parikshit, on his deathbed, when he hears about the fifth canto, about the hellish planets, he immediately in his heart was thinking and concerned for how will people get rid of sin, and then how will people get rid of these sinful activities that cause this suffering. And then Sukadeva Goswami, in response, speaks the sixth canto, the story of Ajamya, to explain Nam Tattva, Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan, Eko Asti Mahagunan, Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Parambhaja. So look at the heart of Krishnadas Kaviraj. He wants to give us this nectar, even if he may not live, at least let him give it in sutra form, so that perhaps in the future those who are deep in their realization and prayer from those sutras, the nature of sutra, it contains in seed form something greater than itself, some greater knowledge, some expansive knowledge, just as in a seed, there's a whole tree. So within a sutra, the whole, so he put all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of his compassion in seed form. And and now he's beginning to explain that. And we've been following the Madhya Leela is a summary of the whole Sesha Leela, Madhya Leela 1. It's a summary of everything that was spoken before. So that we're in that, but he's, the Madhya Leela is a summary of everything that's before, that everything in the Sesha Leela. What he's doing right now, it also explains his 6 years in South India. He's explaining Lord Chaitanya after he took sannyas, and it's so nice. We've been following Lord Chaitanya, and how he's traveling in this, and We get a description, and here's a meditation for everyone in the audience. The Lord's bodily features were very beautiful, and in addition, he was always in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Simply by seeing him, everyone began chanting the holy name of Krishna, and thus everyone became a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. And he went to South India. We discussed this also in the last class. It's not just pilgrimage. It's not just pilgrimage in that sense, but he went on the pretext of finding his brother Vishwaroop. That's what he told the Vaishnavas, but actually it was just a pretext for his preaching. And we followed that previously, where every place he would go, just by seeing him, seeing that the potency of that devotion within his heart, just by seeing him, others would become a devotee. What to speak by his chanting, because ultimately everyone's looking for pure love, because that's what we're by constitution, our soul, our dharma is to be a receptacle for pure love. That's ultimate reality. When we're free from ignorance, what are we? We're meant to be a receptacle for Krishna's pleasure. And what's Krishna's pleasure? What's the absolute reality's pleasure? It's love. It's pure love. Our heart's supposed to be... So therefore, ultimately, by nature, everyone is looking for that love. And when they see it embodied in someone, it's so appreciated. And by that appreciation and that desire, then it begins to come to someone. What to speak of seeing the full embodiment of Mahabhav, the full height of pure Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Bhavatal Mati. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we've been following very wonderfully. And we're up to a particular part in his travels, which maybe I'll speak on for a few classes. I spoke on it before. He comes to the house of Vankata Bhatta, who is the brother of Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is the father of Gopal Bhatta, and he's a Sri Vaishnava. And so, you know, he welcomes Lord Chaitanya to his house for Chaturmasya, for those 4 months. And I remember reading in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami's analysis of the verse, Dharmasya Yapivargasya, that dharma or religious activities are meant for liberation. And he said that dharma, this liberation, it means for Krishna consciousness. And he describes the whole purpose of the Vanashram system is if you can become cultured in a proper society, a Vaishnava may come to your home. And that's the whole purpose of the Vanashram society. Because then you can achieve perfection in his association. So somehow he sees Lord Chaitanya Sannyasi, invites him to stay for 4 months, and then Lord Chaitanya stays there. And we're going to follow his activities a little bit. And first thing is, when he's there, he's going every day to the Kaveri. And when he's coming to the Kaveri, and he's coming back, the general populace is just astounded. I mean, maybe we can take ourselves back to South India, one of these villages, what it must have been like to actually directly perceive Lord Chaitanya. And you know, the embodiment. What is Srimati Radharani? Srimati Radharani is Mahabhav Swarup. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's Mahabhav Swarup. What is Mahabhav? It says the essence of the Ladini Shakti is Krishna Prema, or love of Godhead. When that love of Godhead is intensified to the topmost degree, that is Mahabhav. And what is Radharani? She's Mahabhav Swarup. In other words, every part of Srimati Radharani is intensely for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, it's intensely the embodiment of love. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is intensely the embodiment of love. And one becomes affected by that type of association. And it's very, very attractive. And when you become attracted to somebody, you're becoming attracted to their desires or heart, and that heart, to some extent, will come to you. What to speak of someone at that level, their devotion will reflect to you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's bathing in the Kaveri, and he's coming to the temple, he's chanting, he's doing kirtan kata, and then one day he sees a Brahmin reading. And the people were deriding the person, because this Brahmin, somehow or other, this Brahmin was basically illiterate. Now, it means he couldn't really read. He was trying to pronounce the words, and people were deriding him because he was a Brahmin. And what is a Brahmin? Sat karma nipano vipo mantra tantra visharada. A Brahmin knows mantra tantra visharada. He knows very expertly all these things. And here was this Brahmin, and he was reading, and they were deriding him. But this is so interesting. He was happy. He wasn't concerned. Because reality is ultimately your relationship with the Absolute Truth. That's a permanent fact. And if you're satisfied in that relationship, you are happy despite the external senses. That's why we practice austerity, to come to that platform. But what is Vaishnava austerity? Despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, we continue in Krishna's service. He was completely full in heart, this Brahmin, because he was Hare Krishna, because he was fully Krishna conscious. And he actually, this is a very interesting point, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him, why you are reading this, you're illiterate, you know, why are you so happy? And even though he couldn't read what he was saying, he said, I'm getting so ecstatic, because I'm seeing, I know what this book is about. It's Krishna is on the chariot. And he's so beautiful. He's so beautiful. This is Sarvada. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. The essence of Krishna consciousness is to realize the Absolute Truth. To realize the Absolute Truth means to realize the beauty of the Absolute Truth. And to realize the beauty of the Absolute Truth, the Absolute Truth has to reveal his personality to one. And one only reveals oneself to another in love. So because of his devotion and because of his love, he had an inner realization of the beauty of the Absolute Truth. So when he was thinking this, he was just, and how beautiful it is. Because what's the ultimate beauty of the Absolute Reality? The ultimate beauty of a person, the Absolute Reality is a person. The ultimate beauty of a person is his love, his ability to give himself and reciprocate in relationship. When you say if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what does supremacy of personality mean? Supremacy of personality means your loving, selfless nature, your ability to give yourself to others. And Krishna is Akila Rasam Rita Murti. He is the full embodiment of loving exchanges and relations. Otherwise, what would be the attractiveness of God? If he couldn't reciprocate in relationship, he would be impersonal. He would have the defect of not being loving, of not exchange. Can everybody hear me?
If you cut this out and cut on that green thing, this green thing up on your foot, so
who's on the phone? Can you please mute your phone? Someone, we can hear them. Can everybody else hear me?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So who's ever there, please mute the phones, because I don't know. Okay. Someone has their phone on, and I can hear them in their house. So please mute that phone, please. As I'm making this point, and I don't want people to lose this. So this is actually Krishna. Krishna is God, but he can exchange all relationships. And therefore, to fully reveal himself, he does not remain as the Lord. Because when you remain in a inconceivably exalted position from someone else, you cannot reveal the intimate sides of yourself to them. If you have a very lowly servant and you're very high, can you open your heart in intimacy and reveal the full range of your personality in very intimate friendship and so many other different relationships? And therefore, this is a very interesting point that one day I kind of understood. The first time we see Krishna in the Bhagavatam is where, in the Bhagavad Gita is where? As the chariot driver of Arjuna. And when is the first time we see, these are our two main books about Krishna, his life and teaching. When is the first time we see Krishna in the Bhagavatam? Riding as the chariot driver. In both cases, we see Krishna in the subordinate position to his devotee, serving the devotee. But that actually indicates the essence of what Krishna is. The essence of Krishna is that he's the supreme person, and therefore he is reciprocating love. And therefore, he's in the position of even serving his devotees. So very wonderful point. And Lord Chaitanya is so satisfied with the devotee that he, in other words, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, because of his sincere efforts, gave him personal darshan. And it was actually Prabhupada in the purport quoted a very nice verse, Tadvag visargo jana tadna viplavo yasmin priti shlokam abad avat yipi, because he couldn't pronounce properly. The Prabhupada quoted very nice, Tadvag visargo, that this vag, these words, visargo, are completely different creation, the Bhagavatam. Tadvag visargo jana tadna, in the jana tadna, the ugly, in the sinful people, Janatagna Biplavo. Yes, Bhagavad Sargo, Janatagna Biplavo means it can cause a revolution in the hearts of those who are impious. Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abhadavat Yipi. Even if every Yasmin Prati Shlokam, even if every shloka is imperfectly composed. This is the Narada Muni's instruction to Vyasadeva about the importance of Krishna Katha. And one time, one of my godbrothers, Jagadish Maharaj at the time, who was reading Prabhupada's books very deeply on one of Prabhupada's appearance days, gave a very startling realization. He said, we may see this verse as predicting the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, why? Because the scriptures were in Sanskrit. And before you write scriptures, you have to be fully conversant in Sanskrit. To be able to compose, you have to study for 12 years. You don't make mistakes. So what is this, Yasmin Prati Shlokam, that each and every shloka may be imperfectly composed? So he said two things. Before Prabhupada took the Sanskrit language, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and translated into a second language with grammatical mistakes in English. When before that was the treasure of Vedic knowledge imperfectly composed? And he said also, Tadvag Visargo Janatagnabi, and when did the Bhagavatam create such a revolution in the hearts of impious men? So very, very interesting. And I want to leave time for questions because people always, they really like the discussions. And then I just want to then go over this discussion with Vankata. So he's very satisfied with him. He's a very, very dear friend. And this is the tenor of their discussion. He's respecting him so much, even though he understands in one sense Vankata Bhatt may not be understanding the deepest realization of the Absolute Reality, which is Sri Krishna. He's so appreciative and respectful of his devotion to Sri Narayan, which in Sarup or form or person is not different than Krishna. It's the same person. So he's so satisfied, but in that intimate relationship, he asked him, Goddess Lakshmi is so chaste that she never leaves the chest of Lord Narayan. So why has Lord Krishna associated? Why has Goddess Lakshmi, why did she want and desire to associate with Krishna, just a cowherd boy, and abandon all regulative principles? Why did she want to do this if she's so chaste? So he's asking Narayan, who's, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains it further, and he quotes from the Bhagavatam, from the Kaliya pastime, because in the Kaliya pastime, when the Nagaputnis, I may have repeated this, but I'm going to finish it again today, and I want to. The Nagaputnis, the wives, when, very interesting, when Krishna beat down the head of their husband. And they were actually, initially, almost cheering him on because their husband was so envious. But then when every single hood of the husband was completely smashed, and the hoods of the Kaliya serpent indicate the false ego. And it's the nature of the false ego, then one aspect of us becomes crushed, another aspect arises. You know, I'm the controller and the enjoyer, smash. Another aspect, well, I'm the enjoyer and controller in this way, smash. So Kaliya's serpent represents the ultimate mercy of Krishna, where all aspects, all attempts at the false ego, the desire that I am controller, are smashed. And why is that the mercy of Krishna? Because then you can give up the false ego that binds you to the body and causes you suffering in the material world. When everything is finished, you may have that realization. And that's why death is merciful. Because death means the complete annihilation of the false ego for the devotee. Because he finally realizes, I am not the controller. Because everything, including my whole conception and identity, is being taken away from me beyond my control, although it is the thing that I desire least to happen. And we see this. Then the devotee realizes, Krishna is the controller. I am not the controller. I am Krishna's servant. And therefore, his will is supreme. I am happy with his will, even if his will means the annihilation of my false ego. So the Nagaputnis, when they saw their husband crushed, when his hoods were rising, they were rooting for Krishna because they were devotees. They're saying, how envious, kill this envious snake. But when he was crushed, and finally he can just out of one mouth and the bones broken, he can just say, I'm sorry, Krishna. Please, I take shelter. Then immediately, because they're Vaishnavas, immediately they had full compassion. Soon as he, and this is actually Vaishnava principle, full compassion, immediately had full compassion. And then they began to pray in a very tactful way for Krishna to please save their husband. And they were trying to present, well, maybe my husband is exalted. Why? Because how can he have the lotus feet of Krishna on his head, something that wasn't even available to the goddess for a fortune? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes that verse. The Kaliya Nagaputnis, O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attain such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet, even the goddess of fortune to this end, perform austerities for centuries, giving up all desires and observing vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kali got such an opportunity. So the whole, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is Chaitanya Leela, this is Acharya Leela. His life is explaining the supremacy. This is the whole essence of the Bhagavatam, that the fullest manifestation of the absolute truth is Radha and Krishna. So in every Leela, in every pastime, in every travel, he's revealing some further and further discrimination. And this is a very subtle discrimination. The difference between the two, and he wants to show that the goddess of fortune could not enter into the association with Krishna. And therefore, to understand why, you'll understand clearly the supremacy of Radha and Krishna. So Venkata Bhat, he was a very learned person, and he understood some of these things, and he therefore quoted, if you heard this, the last class of the class before, I just think it's so important, and I'm going to stop for questions in just like 6 or 7 minutes, but he quotes this very essential verse, and he says, well, I don't see, he says, her vow of chastity is not compromised because even though she's going to Krishna, Krishna is the same personality. Siddhanta tas prabedo bi. In conclusion, in Siddhanta, there's no difference. Shrisha, Krishna sarup. In the sarup, the essence, the tattva, there's no difference between them. Yet there is a special attraction of rasa in Krishna due to the ability to give himself fully in relationship. Akila rasa in rasa. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says, yes, there's no difference in personality between Narayan and Krishna, yes. And not in personality, in person it's the same person. Krishna just means a further revelation of the person in intimate love. It's the full manifestation. He's indicating that that's why Krishna is actually Swayam Bhagavan, the original full manifestation of the personality of Godhead. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but still, why? You say, okay, her vow of chastity is not compromised because it's the same person. But why couldn't she enter the rasa dance? Let's investigate this. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was so enlivened reading this dialogue. This is why I want to share it again and again. It's the conclusion of our whole Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes from the statements of Uddhava. After Uddhava, when he went to Vrindavan, he understood the exalted nature of the gopis because he went to Uddhava Khyati, that's between Nandagram and Varsana, and I remember in the old days going to this secluded forest which is enriched with the mood of separation because it's where Radharani, in the highest state of ecstasy, was speaking to the bumblebee. And thinking it as a messenger of Krishna in this jalpa-patita, this trans-umbada, this transcendental, you are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. And when he saw this, the ecstasy of Radharani in prema-vichitya, that even though Krishna is not there, she's seeing Krishna. And Uddhava said, when Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced around their neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other concepts in the spiritual world. they could not relish the fullest manifestation of the Supreme Lord in conjugal love. And conjugal love means the most fullest manifestation of a person in intimacy. So if you want to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the full heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to be revealed to you in love. And this is the most intimate relationship. And therefore, after that, Uddhava, in the most humble way, then he glorifies the gopis, how they gave up their family and chastity, and they're so glorified that the degree of their desire to have the Supreme Lord Krishna, that Uddhava then begs, a son begs to become a grass or creeper in Vrindavan. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, so why? You tell me why. Why the goddess of fortune could not enter the rasa dance when the personified Vedas can enter the rasa dance? The damsels of Vraja, the gopis, simply wanted to embrace him. Thus the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet. Similarly, we Upanishads can also taste the nectar of the lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. They followed in the footsteps of the gopis. Now what I see is, unfortunately, I want to leave time for questions, but I have a lot more to. Let me see if I can just quickly summarize that. So he asked them why. Why is this? Why some can enter and one not? And the Count of Butt was so honest and such a humble thing. He says, I cannot enter into these mysteries. I can. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, well, the residents of Vrindavan, they did not know he's the Supreme Lord. They bind him with the mortar. They mount his shoulders in friendship. They did not know. And if one wants to know him, one has to worship within the mood of the gopis in spontaneous love. And in spontaneous love, in that desire for spontaneous love, attain a suitable body to actually associate with Krishna. See, the Supreme Krishna is accessible to those devoted. Actually, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vyasadeva composed this verse just to explain that the Supreme Person is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous love. Spontaneous love. And spontaneous love means just love. Kevala Bhakti. Sigaru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. Kevala Bhakti, only Bhakti. And as explained, only Bhakti means there's no other reason for that relationship and for that service other than one's attraction and devotion to the person. Where if the Supreme Lord manifests himself in his majesty or divinity, there's some sense of obligation or duty because you're dealing with a superior. And that sense of must weakens the love. It's no longer kevala bhakti. Parama karuna, what is that? Parama karupahudu jina nittai gora tanda sabavatar sarashiramani. Of all avatars, sabavatar sarashiramani, they're the crest jewels. Why? Kevala ananda kanda. They gave a process that was only ananda, kevala ananda, spontaneous love, not mixed with any obligation or duty. And therefore, the conclusion that was given, because the goddess Lakshmi had a particular mood and body and therefore was approaching Krishna in reverence or awe, she could not enter the Rasa dance as Goddess Lakshmi in that body, in that mood. By definition, she couldn't enter. And if she entered, she wouldn't be Goddess Lakshmi. She would be the gopis. In other words, Lakshmi means when the gopis are in a particular mood in relationship to Krishna, when he's in the mood of majesty and Aishwarya or opulence. By constitution, that's what Goddess Lakshmi means. So she couldn't enter as Goddess Lakshmi, even if she performs austerity. So there has to be a particular conception of Krishna and a particular mood of love. And that's what the personified Vedas were aspiring for. A particular conception of the Supreme Lord, not as the Supreme Lord, and a particular mood of love in relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, as a cowherd boy. And that's what they were aspiring for. Anyway, it was such a deep subject today. I'm going to stop for questions, but it was a little bit more difficult for me today because I've been driving in a car all day visiting different people. This is my third stop, so not ideally how I like to sit in class. You may have felt more of my passion. Are there any questions?
Yes, Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Gail.
Gail. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions concerning Goddess Lakshmi.
Yeah.
Well, one was that, you know, you said that she didn't have the body to enter that relationship. And I was wondering if that is because in the spiritual world, one's body is a manifestation of their mood toward Krishna. I mean, I understand that she couldn't enter the Rasa dance because she didn't have Kevala Bhakti, where it was not dependent on her knowledge of Krishna's position as God. But is it because the body is a manifestation of one's mood, whatever that mood is, whether it's in Kevala Bhakti or, you know, or in reverence, that she could not enter the Rasa dance? And the other one was also that I was questioning her chastity because, you know, in terms of tattva, because Krishna is the same person as Narayan, you know, in terms of tattva, in that sense, she was chaste. But it seems that in terms of rasa, maybe, she was not chaste because in terms
okay.
of rasa,
uh-huh. There's so much here. Let me just begin. Okay. Let me just begin. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the queens of Dwarka, right? When Krishna, I'll just tell the story basically, but when Krishna is in Dwarka, he feels some separation from Vrindavan, and that separation causes Krishna to go into a kind of a semi-comatose state due to the feelings of sadness and separation. It's kind of like more than a depression. Govinda Varahena May, in the absence of your beloved, the world loses meaning. So we can only understand that from our kind of own unfortunate frame of reference, but maybe we've experienced that in separation from someone we love, if that person is our life, then in their absence the world has no meaning, and it affects us even psychologically and physically and whatever. But we can imagine this at the highest state, to this kind of a transcendental stupor. And to revive Krishna, Lord Brahma comes and they the residents of Dwarka, they bring Krishna to this Mother Vrindavan, which is a transcendental kind of wax museum of Krishna's pastimes with all the flowers, etc., very made by Vishvakarma right outside Dwarka. And when Krishna becomes revived, because they take off his kingly outfit and they put on a cowherd boy, and then they begin to say, it's time to take out the cows, because they know to revive him from this mood of separation, they're going to have to give him a sense of some union. That's it's also to keep the flow of prema there, that the full river of prema must have the embankments of separation and union. So we even see, even in Dwarka, this sense is there. And therefore, they're bringing him up out of that stupor by saying, it's time to wake up the cows, it's time to wake up the cows. And Krishna wakes up, and it's about 11 o'clock, and he's embarrassed that he overslept. And then he sees this, because he's in a highly emotional state, he sees this statue of Mother Yasoda, and they put fresh muffin or butter in her hand. And he says, Mata, Mata. And he takes the butter. And then he sees a statue of Radharani, but he doesn't think it's a statue. He thinks it's Radharani in the stage of Mon. So then Krishna begins to manifest his intimate feelings. The wives of Dwarka are there. The wives of Dwarka are there, and the wives of Krishna's wives in Dwarka are there. They're behind the trees so that they don't disturb the Leela, because they're trying to convince Krishna he's in Vrindavan. And when they see Krishna, their husband, open their heart to Radharani, in that intimacy of conjugal padakiya bhav, where there's this equality, and therefore there's nothing that Krishna has to hold back from that relationship that would disturb the reverence. Because there's a certain type of, because the queens of Dwarka have some reverence for him, and that's part of the relationship. And to respect that relationship, naturally there's a limit to the amount that Krishna can open his heart and reveal himself in intimacy in that relationship. Because he has to respect their natural feelings of reverence for him as the king of Dwarka. But when he thinks it's Radharani and he's feeling the force of her kevala bhakti, her spontaneous love, then he doesn't have to check his feelings of reciprocation in deference to their reverence. And more of himself comes out, which is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Now, when the queens of Dwarka see this, they're in ecstasy because they've never seen their husband so beautiful as when he fully opens his heart to Radharani. So in the same way, Dwarka, the goddess Lakshmi, in relationship to Ryan, that's also Krishna. That's also Krishna. And I forgot even your first question. Maybe I'm talking about the second question. That's the whole conclusion. The whole conclusion of the pastime is it's the same sarup, it's the same person. So she's not being unchaste, because when you're unchaste, it means that you put your love in another person. She's not putting her love in another person. She's trying to put her love in the same person. It almost can be like this is mundane, especially for sannyasi, maybe a husband and a wife, right? Maybe it's a more patriarchal relationship, and maybe the wife is kind of hankering that the husband becomes more romantic and equal, because it's a patriarchal relationship. Maybe an old time, you know, where the husband is like almost the guru of the wife. And maybe because of that relationship, the husband cannot reveal himself as intimately, and nor can the wife approach him with the same intimacy and full heart. and maybe that wife would be hankering. I tell the story of my grandmother, I guess, who had a relationship with my grandfather in that mood, and she was always kind of dissatisfied because he wasn't romantic enough. So she was always hankering for him to be more romantic. And then one day, my mother and father took my grandparents to this Broadway musical called Fiddle on the Roof. Now, my grandparents were born in Russia, and they had spoken Yiddish. And I never saw this drama, but Fiddle on the Roof, it was about a matchmaker and love and that thing. And it really was able to communicate that love. And then my grandfather held my grandmother's hand, you know, by the effect of this drama. And my grandmother was so overwhelmed with the intimacy and equality and the romance that she kind of nudged my mother and said, look, finally. So I don't see there's anything contradictory that the goddess Lakshmi, you know, in one sense, would kind of want that, or not even that, for the purpose of instruction, for the purpose of pointing out the supremacy of Krishna, then that particular pastime can be manifest by Goddess Lakshmi. After all, who is Goddess Lakshmi? Who is the goddess of fortune? It's Radharani. Because all Shaktis, they're all expansions of Radharani. So it's just Radharani's expansion. So why wouldn't Radharani's expansion, in a particular circumstance, want to show this the supremacy of Radharani and the supremacy of Krishna? Gail?
Yes.
Did that help you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, why don't you think about it, and we'll see if anybody else has a question, okay? But it seems like we need to have a discussion where we can just discuss all your questions because they seem to be building up. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, I've had a long day. This is not the way I like to give the class because I realize, honestly, I'm going to confide it, that when speaking, there's two things. One is the knowledge that you have, and the other is the mode of goodness that allows you to access it. And I generally on Wednesday don't plan to travel, but I went all the way from Jersey. I went to New York City, and I visited two different people, which also entails driving and parking, and then came back here for the program and just kind of ran upstairs. But I will continue this pastime. Would anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
Gordon.
Gordon, so nice to hear from you. Where are you today, Gordon?
I'm on the beach of Lavalette, New Jersey, with my family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How close are you to me? I'm in New Jersey. What part of New Jersey?
I'm a little bit north of Atlantic City and east of the Pine Barrens, right on the peninsula. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you came down from upstate there. How long you be there?
I'll be here till Friday.
Oh boy! I guess it's a little far from my head, but otherwise it would have been nice to meet you and your family.
Sure. it would have been good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who is this?
This is Govardhan.
Govardhan. Okay. I'll see you on Sunday, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
I don't think I'll have any problem. You sent me the address. I'll get there. Okay, I'll come between 10 and 11. I'll give the class at your house.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Gandiva from Hong Kong.
Gandiva, so nice to hear from you. Are you able to get on sometimes?
I'm on holiday now, so I can get on every Thursday and Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, great. So nice to... When will you visit everyone in the States?
Probably not till next year, Maharaj, but it was great to be in your class. Thank you.
Well, thank you for attending. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Great. And Diva, or she knows. Actually, I was visiting Ladini Shakti. I guess that's your godbrother.
Yeah.
He was in New York City today. So I actually went in there because he begged me to, he asked me to come in and see him and visit him. So I did. He was staying there. Very nice. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Shastra Das with
Shastra, Hare Bhav. Hopefully I'll be by you by Monday. That'll be very nice. Are you there with anybody else today?
Oh, well, Guru Garmar's left today, so it's just me and Mahari.
Okay, great. Nice. Thank you. That's where I'm going to visit next week. Very nice. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bhav, Maharaj. This is Vrindaranya.
Vrindaranya, thank you for attending today.
Thank you. It was a wonderful class.
Well, I kind of felt, how it is, it's not Odarya Dham. I was traveling around, and I kind of like more to be sitting there. But it's nice. You can see there's just a nice group of people that congregate. And it's actually a very good medium. It creates a nice sangha for people from, like you saw, one person was from Hong Kong, and these are all people I know in different places. So it's good. And I also spoke to Prema about, anyway, I'll talk to you further, but we wanted to do some other type of class, and that was nice, too. Thank you for attending. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, I'm not going to play. Anyway, we'll end for today, and the next class will be Sunday. Thank you all so much. Panchakalpa Purubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah.